Say my name.
It's Matt Coon!
You're goddamn right.
And welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon, here on the MLW Radio Network, brought to you by our great friends over there at WrestleZone.com, the world's most widely read wrestling news site on the planet. I'm Matt Coon, and I'm here with the Wednesday Night War.com edition of Total Engagement. Unlike other shows, I actually watch both shows before I post my review. Just saying, that's no slam on anybody. I know someone got upset, but I like you, man. I'm just playing around. But it's true, I did watch both shows, and here's the question I'm going to ask you. Is the Wednesday Night War already over? Let's talk about it today on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon. Has the Wednesday Night War been won? The first week, it was a slaughter in the ratings. Now, the second week, both went down. And I think, of course, when you have a debut of AEW, it's probably going to go down a little bit. Even though I thought it'd go up, I was fucking dead wrong. But I've been wrong before. That's okay. But I think the overall viewership this week will go up. Why? Because I think that SmackDown viewership's gone down. I think Raw viewership's gone down. And I think people are going to make different choices. I don't think they've brought in new fans yet. But I think we are going to see a slaughter. Almost doubling. Not quite doubling. But enough where people say the word doubling. With AEW probably getting somewhere about 1.3, 1.35 million. And NXT getting somewhere about 750,000 people watching. So, is it over? I think for the early stages, it could be argued that it is over. Because as much as AEW gets criticized for wins and losses matter, and work rate, and matches, and high spots, the reality is people are responding to AEW more because it's a better show. And there's a difference between a show and a sequence of wrestling matches. And it's ironic, really, because only one of these shows really has writers, and it's NXT, and they're not making a show. They're making a list of matches, and they're fine matches. So let's run down the cards real quick, really quick. NXT had some good matches and good moments. Tommaso Ciampa defeated Angel Garza. People were glad to see him again. Undisputed Era comes out to the ring. Imperium with a perfectly fine tag team match, a good tag team match against Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan. And then you had a couple feature kind of squashes in the women's division. You had Shirai defeated Kayden Carter, which was good. Shirai's great. And then we had the one I want to talk about, Keith Lee versus Dominik Dijakovic. It might just be me, but something's not getting across to us about the stakes of these two guys. Battle of the Giants, the Battle of the Behemoths, bringing up the anticipation and the compelling storyline for it. I'm not really getting it. So in the match, I'm really, in my head when I'm watching, it's a sequence of high spots, and it's great. And it's, again, ironic because it's what AEW's criticized for. It seems like they're going for that five-star match. But to me, there's no story being told, and it doesn't really excite me. It's impressive, and it's cool, but it doesn't really excite me. It just seems like Poison Rana after Poison Rana. In complete opposition to that, Matt Riddle against Bronson Reed was a great match to me. It seemed more realistic. It seemed to tell a story. It kept furthering around Matt Riddle. Tegan Nox returned against Tenora Conti. Killian Dane defeated Boa, and in the main event, Damian Priest defeated Pete Dunne. A fantastic match. Pete Dunne looked great. It's fun to see him use his babyface moveset, but Damian Priest is in the best shape I've ever seen him. But as I was going to say, I don't know what the stakes are other than these guys are two badasses who are fighting. So overall, it was good matches. It was entertaining. It was better than Raw or SmackDown. It was a fine wrestling card. So AEW Dynamite, on the other hand, had a lot of stakes involved. AEW World Tag Team title match, SCU defeated Best Friends. We had a squash match, Santina and Ortiz versus John Silver and Alex Reynolds. It did everything a squash match should do. The third match was a women's match. Riho defeated Dr. Britt Baker. I'm still not sure this division is hitting. The AEW World Tag Team title tournament match, Lucha Brothers defeated Jurassic Express. So this is what I want to talk about. Because, man, do people fucking hate Marco Stunt. It's crazy to me. People really hate him. They go, he doesn't belong out there. He looks terrible out there. He looks like a little kid out there. Guys, first of all, I will admit this is not the best use of Marco, probably. But it was a situation where Luchasaurus got hurt and they gave Marco the opportunity. And he did good in that spot. But no, I don't know if this particular tag teams being treated as equal situation is the perfect opportunity for Marco's spot to show what he can do. But Marco's a talent, and Marco's going to be a breakout star. Marco's got charisma, and if you don't think Marco belongs in the ring, then it's a personal preference you have. It's not so much a universal. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page defeated Pac and Jon Moxley. The match of the night, more stars in this match than probably all of NXT put together. Of course, these are three of the top five singles guys, maybe four of the top six singles guys in AEW. And America, you got your first look at Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega had his come out party. He was fantastic with it. Hangman Page worked so much better in a tag team than we saw him in the singles. I think he was exposed a little bit in the singles. A super entertaining match. Tons of stakes in that Omega is going to be fighting Moxley at the pay-per-view. Pac and Moxley have this uneasy relationship. Hangman Page is still trying to prove himself after being defeated by Pac. So he's trying to still prove himself too. A ton of different relationships. And guess what? They've only done this like in 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, they've set this up. 3 weeks, they've set up these feelings where you go, this is a big match. This is a big deal. And man, it was a good match, and not just because these guys are good wrestlers and worked a good match. The crowd certainly helped, and the story was there. And then with Jon Moxley turning on Pac right there, it shows that Moxley's his own man. It creates more and more integration of the storylines into these characters. Finally, we had the World Championship match. You want to talk about stakes? We have Le Champion, the champion of AEW, against Darby Allin, who earned his way there. And we knew it was going to make, at least I did, a star-making turn for Darby Allin. Let me tell you, if you don't get Darby Allin, he might not be for you. Like my friend Dave Hancock was sitting next to me when we were in the front row for the first Dynamite. And he's like, I don't like the way he's dressed. I'm like, I don't either, but it's not for you and it's not for me. For the kids, he comes across as very credible. The fact that he's a skateboarder, but he's not a dork, it comes across as very genuine. And the fact that he talks about his struggles and the problem he has and his character already being half dead, it really works and comes across in a genuine, credible, appealing, connectable way that I think is going to really help AEW. I think Darby Allin could be one of the top two or three people that bring in a new audience because he comes across so credibly. Not to me, maybe not to you, but to the young people out there. Of course, as soon as the tape comes out, I've seen this. A lot of people had not seen this, but Darby Allin's got a moveset when he's got hands taped behind his back. And man, oh man, I thought it was a special moment. I thought it was a good show. Having the bad guys close it out at the end together worked for me. And here's the thing, as you heard, the first few matches weren't barn burners, but it was a better show. All three of these AEW episodes, to me, have gone by really quickly. So even if there's a segment you don't love, it's going to be over soon. And for me, you have a show versus a list of matches. And with the combination of the rating situation, the question could be asked, is the war over? And the beginning part of the war has been won. I'm not counting NXT out yet, but I think it's a valid question. Now, what can NXT do? I think the biggest problem is you have a bunch of guys with star potential who don't come across like stars. It's not one of those things where people say, they don't have any stars, man. They don't look like stars in the airport. I think that's a stupid way to think because I think there were people that weren't thought of as stars when they were WCW. And when they went to WWE, they were thought of as stars. So I think it's theater of the mind in a lot of ways. But what can you do to make people look like stars and keep people in Full Sail? Because I like NXT in Full Sail. I think it's an important distinction between the two that makes them different and will be something that could gain traction as far as what appeals to people, the fact that it's in this smaller venue. But I think something you have to do is you have to go overboard with the characters. You have to amplify the characters. You have to amplify the moments and speed up the show. You don't say, oh, they have this big audience with all these fireworks and we don't, so we're this and they're that. No. You have to make up for that by being over the top with your characters, by being quicker with your cuts from scene to scene to scene, by making a slicker production. They have the experience. They can make a slicker production by tightening up the matches a little bit, by making every moment as special as you can make it. Not overbook it, but really think about that. Damian Priest had a great match, but when he left the ring, he just looked like a guy. How do you make him look like a star when he leaves? What should he be wearing? What should he be doing? What kind of lights can be going on? What can you do to accent that particular moment to make it look special in there? It's not over, but the beginning of it is not looking very good. But something that was looking super good was our downloads for yesterday. I don't know what the hell happened. I guess y'all like drama, because the Bischoff-Pritchard episode of Total Engagement totally downloaded like crazy. Our second biggest downloaded day ever here on Total Engagement, and I appreciate it. Stories came out on Bischoff today. Turns out that what I thought happened kind of did happen, where the article that came out of Sports Illustrated said that Bischoff failed to assimilate into the corporate structure, which is pretty much what I thought might have happened yesterday. Now, I'm wrong a lot. I'm right sometimes, but we'll see about the ratings. But what I am right about is I have the best listeners in the entire world. Please keep listening. Do me a favor, get on iTunes now, subscribe. If you're on a podcast platform now, go ahead and subscribe to us. Give us a 5-star review if you think we deserve it. And if you don't, you don't have to. But what you do got to do is be a good fan, and I'll be a good fan with you. And I'll see you tomorrow right here on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon.